Hello, test 1, 2, 3, 4. That's good. Sounds good to me. Excellent. Stop it.
Now we're cooking real good. All right. Today is August the 16th.
Right, Friday.
Friday, August the 16th at Kentucky State Fairgrounds in Cloverville. And we're talking with Addie Faraday, who has been an extension volunteer leader in Jefferson County for how many years, Addie?
38.
38 years. I've been working here for 41 myself, so I almost remember when you started doing this. Addie, tell me something about where you were born and when.
I was born in Irvington in Breckenridge County in 1928.
1928. Were you involved in 4-H as you grew up?
No, I grew up in, my parents moved to Jefferson County when I was 7, and we were living in the city of Louisville, and back then, they didn't think the city kids needed 4-H.
So what'd you do to keep yourself occupied at those tender years?
Well, I happened to love to play softball. So that's what I did in the summertime. During the wintertime, you know, whatever you can do in the house to aggravate your mother, we did.
Now, what'd you say? When were you born again? That was 1928?
Right, uh-huh.
Okay, so you just got me beat by 3 years, that's all.
Okay.
All right, you're holding up better than I am.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not so sure about that.
Well, we have to face it philosophically one way or the other.
Yeah.
Where'd you go to school in Jefferson County?
I went to the Louisville Public Schools since we had them then. I went to a school, it was called in elementary school in Beachmont, and then in junior high, I went to Southern Junior High, and then in high school, I went to what they call the Louisville Girls High School. The city of Louisville back then was sort of behind the times. Not only were they segregated by race, we were segregated by sex. And all the high schools in the city of Louisville then, except one, the boys went to one, the girls went the other. And mine was, they went co-ed in 1953. The year I graduated in 46 was the 99th year of the school.
So there were great changes when you graduated then, weren't
there? Yeah.
Okay, after you graduated, what'd you do?
I went to work. I had originally wanted to go to engineering school because I wanted to be an aeronautical engineer. And back then, they would not take women. Huh. They wouldn't take them in speed, even though I had the great... I went to summer school to take the math.
Yeah.
Because they didn't teach it to the girls back then.
My goodness.
I took trig and solid geometry in summer school. And there was a school in Massachusetts that would accept me, but we didn't have the money. And back then, you did not have the grants and work studies and things that youngsters can get today. So I went to work and kept saying I didn't know what I was going to do. I finally decided I might be wanted to be an airline stewardess and got accepted to that. And then I met a fellow named Bill and decided to stay in Jefferson County and not leave town to see what would happen.
Well, how did you meet Bill, anyway?
At an airport.
What, was he a flyboy?
Yes, he had his private license. Uh-huh. That's why I'm so interested in
sure.
him. However, my brother happened to have met him first
and
told me about him and says, I think you'd like him. And my brother happened to be right, even though he's one of my younger brothers.
Uh-huh. Where did you all live in Louisville after you got married?
After I got married, we lived in the west end of Louisville for a couple of years. And then we moved over in Indiana in the public housing project there because the rent was so cheap and we were saving our money to try to get a house.
Yep.
And then with the money we saved and we sold our airplane, we got a house.
I've always been told airplanes cost more than homes, and that's for sure,
right.
Isn't it?
Yep. Even back then.
Yeah. What kind of a plane did Bill have?
Well, we had the first one was called an air coupe. It was a tricycle landing gear.
I remember that plane.
And then the second one we had was an old Army trainer, PT-19, open cockpit.
I built scale model built PT-19s.
Yeah.
Right.
That
nice
I loved
plane.
That plane.
Yeah, it was a nice plane. Yeah. Old trouble is the wing always interfered with the view of the ground.
Right. You're right on that.
But I remember it quite well.
Yeah.
And the coupe you're talking about, Arthur Godfrey used to fly one of those, and then he bought an Avion, if I remember.
Right. I remember hearing him talk about it on the radio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember one time he was interviewing some guy about flying. He always loved to talk about flying, and he said talking to one guy, the guy said he was afraid to fly. And what if my number's up? And Godfrey said, Well, if your number's up, just don't get on the plane.
Yeah.
Well, the guy said, what if the guy sitting next to me, his number's up and he doesn't know it?
That sounds like Godfrey, doesn't it? Yeah.
Okay, so after you got to kind of settle down a little bit, did you have a job?
I worked, I managed a service department for our servicemen were, we did the old Bendix washer and dryer.
Know the area.
And I had to fight with them because I was the only girl of, among 14 men. And back then, they resented me being a female, but I knew the parts department real well. Uh-huh. And I fortunately had a boss that didn't mind me doing my job.
Mm-hmm.
And so I lasted there for almost 4 years before my daughter was born, and I quit work.
Yeah.
And then I didn't want to work at that time. I decided I'd wait till she'd go back to school, and then I'd go to work. Well, the time she got in school, I was having too much fun, deciding not to ever go back to work.
Was she your only child?
Yes, uh-huh.
What got you involved in 4-H work?
Well, first day Donna went to school, of course, then we were living out in the county, and she went to a county school, and there was some lady wanting someone who would teach clothing to some youngsters. And, of course, I love to sew. And I told her that I'd be glad to try it, see if I could do it. Little did I know, I didn't need to know too much because they train you. And the suit and jacket and coat I had on at that time, I was bragging that I had made that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, then later on I found out all that I needed to know was how to sew straight and I could learn along with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what got me started. And
About when was that?
That was in the fall of 1958. Uh-huh. And by January, I was the club leader.
With how many members? Can you recall that?
That year, I don't remember. I do remember the next year. See, Jefferson County had the big population boom problem.
Yes.
And they had what we called double sessions.
Mm-hmm. Remember that.
And that time. And I had 256 youngsters to sign up the first fall.
In one club?
In one club. We held it in the assembly room. The principal was real nice. She had been a former 4-H'er, so that helped. She was from Hardin County.
Uh-huh.
And I had 27 project leaders. Out of that 256, after a couple of months, they had dropped down to, we had about 200 that was regular. So I spent all my time working with my project leaders. The only time I'd get to deal with the kids would be when we'd have our monthly meetings or have our demonstration and speech contests and things like that. That's when the project leaders would bring them in for something.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I got to really see the kids and get to know the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of youngsters I didn't know. They knew me, but I didn't know because I'd run into them in the shopping centers and things like that, and they would introduce me to their parents. And I always felt bad that I couldn't call their name right off.
Well, age doesn't enter into that. That's just volume is what that is.
Yeah.
Who was the 4-H agent that got you involved in 4-H?
The first 4-H agent I worked with after this, Jimmy Leppard was the leader's name that recruited me. But the agents was Martha Owens. And Joe Hoskins were the two agents that I worked with the most at first.
I remember Joe. His background, I think, was in dairy, if I remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Martha Owens, her background was primarily in fabric, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
And she, of course, she had grown up in the 4-H ranks.
And seemed like she left here and went down Laurel County or somewhere in that part of the state.
Her husband was a doctor, and I really don't remember.
I kind of think she did. Joe, I think, went to Georgia eventually.
Yes, that's where he went,
All right. Okay, so you were involved in a sewing project. What came along after that?
Well, then I said, a couple of months, the lady who had recruited me for sewing leader wanted to give it up because she had a mother that was ill she was taking care of. And they just asked me to do it, and I said yes. I was already getting interested in it, involved in it, and my husband was very strong in scout work at the time. He had started scout work at our church, and we both kind of felt like these things were needed.
Yeah. Yeah. What church was that, by the way?
The Faith Presbyterian Church in Valley Station.
Okay. I'm surprised you didn't get the youngsters involved in something dealing with aeronautical engineering, since you both had an interest in that.
Well, the projects didn't really lend to it at that time. They do have them now.
The earth, what, sky below?
Sky blue.
Yeah, sky above my feet.
Yeah, and then, of course, the scouts, they have several different merit badge things they take that involve that.
Mm-hmm. So have you branched out with your project work?
Well, yes, because what happened is if one of the kids wanted to take a certain project that was on the list, if I couldn't find a parent out know how to do it, then I would start going to the training for it or try to figure it out. So I ended up working with the youngsters, maybe one in this project and another one that was in this project, for they didn't have it in a group because they didn't have anybody to teach them. So I have messed in all of them, I think. have not done any of the strong livestock projects because they never had any animals, but have spent many years with the dog project.
Yeah, I was going to say now, and maybe not livestock, but dogs. What got you interested in dogs?
The lady who was working, getting ready to organize the dog club, working with an agent named Dick LeMaster, who was in Jefferson County at that time, who later went to Fayette County, got her recruited because she spent a lot of time in dog training dogs and showing dogs. So she's come up to me, she says, Eddie, if you'll teach me about 4-H, I'll teach you about the dogs.
Good trade-off.
And I said, okay. Of course, I'd always had a dog, and we'd always had dogs.
Uh-huh.
But to get into the dog training and dog showing, I had never done.
Mm-hmm.
So I taught her, and she taught me.
That's become pretty much of an avocation then for you, hasn't it?
In fact, Polly and I, we ended up back in the late 60s and early 70s, traveling back across the state, anybody who wanted to start a 4-H club, some area director or Conrad or Coleman, who were the 4-H head clovers, as we call them, would say, hey, this county needs help.
Uh-huh.
And would you go there? And we'd go there. In fact, we even did some in Indiana. We were in Washington County over there, Clark and Floyd and Scott.
You did get around there.
Yeah, and some of those clubs are still going.
I know the one in Scott's still going.
And one of the little girls, one year I was in the hospital with respiratory problems, and the little girl who came in to give the inhalation treatment right away says, Miss Faraday, how you doing? And I did not recognize her. And she says, you remember me? And I says, not really. And then she started telling me about the three-legged dog that she had. And she was one of them that lived in Scott County that I had helped train. And one time went back and judged. And she said she still had the dog, and the dog was 18 years old.
Oh, my goodness. Well, obviously, either the dog had good genes or was well cared for.
Yeah, she took care of it.
Okay. Now, that brings up another point. This girl went into respiratory therapy. Tell me, do you know something about some of the other children that you work with?
I have one that's a pediatrician here in Jefferson County. There's several of them who became lawyers. And one young fellow I worked with way back. In fact, he graduated from Valley High School in 1961. Became the director of alumni affairs at U of L. Because that's the school he went to.
Mm-hmm.
And he is still the only youngster from Jefferson County who ever held a state office. His name is Rodney Williams.
Sure. I remember Rodney Williams.
Well,
we're not related, but...
his home county was originally... his family was from Hardin County.
Hmm.
In the West Point area.
In working with the youngsters, did you take them to camp also?
Yes. I went to, the summer of 59 was my first season to camp.
What do you think about 4-H camp?
Well, to me, my feeling is, you know I like camp. I feel like every youngster should have at least 1 week of camping. I don't think it's for everybody because some people just do not work well in the situation. But I do think they need to experience at least once. To get away from home, and be able to have to make decisions on their own and not depend on mom or dad to do it for them. Mm-hmm. It makes the independence. I've seen youngsters who have been, they're little devils. You'd like to spank them.
Yes.
And come to camp and end up being some of the best campers.
Sure enough.
Yeah. It's strange sometimes how that happens. And then others who are very quiet, very meek, you would never think they would do anything out of the way or be mischievous. They end up being the one that's mischievous at the end.
What did some of them do?
Oh. I wouldn't say they're bad.
No, but mischievous.
They like to hide things on each other. They like to lag behind, act like they don't know where they're supposed to go or what they're supposed to do, and you know they can. And they have a tendency that they like to hide from you. And, of course, none of them ever like to do the hard work of cleaning up the bathroom and picking up their own clothes. I guess the ones that are real, real bad, I tend to try to push that out of my mind and I think about it.
You know, that's good philosophy, because I always tell new agents that this business is a 48-hour day, 14 days a week, mm-hmm. but the good experiences far exceed the bad experiences.
Yeah, and those are the ones that you remember.
Yeah, that's there's no question about that. Did you ever take them to senior conference in Louisville, in Lexington?
Yes, I did that a couple of years, and then I would let the other parents and things to do it. I think they all need that experience.
Uh-huh. You don't get much sleep, but it's quite a quite a good training
and
foundation.
And the clubs that I worked with, I had a lot of good support from the parents. After those first 3 or 4 years where I had, actually it was about 5 years that I had those large clubs. All the youngsters I've been working with, they moved out of the elementary schools and went into high schools and things. So I formed then what I call a community club, and we met at my church and used the fellowship hall there. And I usually averaged anywhere from 20 to 40 members. Some years was higher than others, some was lower. And at one time, I think I had somewhere something like the kids represented 12, 15 different schools in Jefferson County, in the southwestern part of Jefferson mm-hmm. County. And there were 7 or 8 different churches that they went to. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's a service project they used to sometimes would come and go to my church and volunteer for the baby service, babysitting service and things like that. And then after my daughter finished her 4-H years, I kind of, at that time, I was running that club, the community club, plus working with the dog club. So I had to give up one.
Sure.
It got too hard, really. And I was doing too much running across the state.
Kind of high on the gasoline bill.
Yeah. My husband would keep track of my mileage.
Oh.
And one year when I was president of the Jefferson County Council, I had some area and state things to do. I drove almost 9,000 miles for 4-H work only.
In one year. And that's
and that was 19,000 miles on my car that year.
My goodness. And the average consumer automobile is driven about 12,000 a
mm-hmm.
year.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's all donated time, donated money.
Every time I went out, you know, I was doing something with 4-H. I could work going to the grocery shopping and then taking some kid the project book at the same time. You have to stop and think ahead where you have to go.
Well, is that the reason you're working in Cloverville now? You had to start earning some of this money so you pay for your gasoline?
No, this developed out of all. I fell into it the very first year that I was a leader and I came to the state fair because I had Jefferson County took tickets on Midway.
Remember that. Yes, a good fundraiser.
And I had volunteered for that. And so I came out here early. I don't like to be late for anything, and if I'm not real sure where I'm going, I'll always leave in plenty of time for me to get lost.
Sure, me too. Same
and
way.
Find my way. And I wandered into the exhibit they have 4-H then, and I had met Conrad Feltner, who was, back then they called them field agents, for Jefferson County, and got to talk to him. And someone came up and asked him a question about something, and I happened to know the answer. It was about the Jefferson County area.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I started doing, helping them put things up and doing little things. Whatever they say and need help with, I do. So what I, that first year, I always, when I come out to work for Jefferson County, I always came early and came over and volunteered to do something for the state people. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started. And now I spend the whole 2 weeks out here, usually 8 hours a day. In the past, sometimes I've spent 16 hours a day out here.
Yes, I know very well. I work 26 hours out here one day, and that's enough.
It gets to be rough. But anyway, I thoroughly enjoy it. I enjoy the people, seeing the people from different parts of the states, seeing the different things the kids do. And we used to have the demonstration contests and things like that in with the 4-H exhibit. We worked it all from here. And I always enjoyed that because the kids, particularly when they get the blue ribbons or the trophy or something, and they were on cloud nine.
At that time, Cloverville, well, we didn't even call it Cloverville.
No,
then.
Uh-uh.
That was over in the West Wing.
East Wing. We're in the West Hall
now.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I've worked here for 25 years myself, and I get confused which direction is which. So you really kind of filled in where Margie Brookshire left off then, didn't you?
Yeah, she had been doing a little work in the office for them. And, of course, I found this out later.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Margie spent as much time.
I don't know. She worked pretty long hours, I remember.
Anyway, it's just, you know, it involved in a volunteer thing, and I just kept coming. Mm-hmm. And now they do pay me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What I do, we have so many hours, and we have the youngsters. So after I pay the youngsters for anything left, I take it. Some years I don't get very much.
Mm-hmm.
Some years I get a little bit. It helps at least pay for my gasoline.
Yeah. 19,000 miles.
Now I don't go. I probably don't drive more than a couple thousand.
Sure.
I'll do that.
Well,
I still do. Still do the dog camp.
Yeah.
Of course, I started that. And I guess of all the things that I have done from the leader standpoint, I get satisfaction of seeing these kids. Some of them grow up and go into the profession or the line of what the area they're working in 4-H.
Mm-hmm.
I always get a kick out of that, but for myself, I guess the two things that I get the most pleasure out of is having served on the National Committee to develop the dog project material.
Mm-hmm.
Purina at that time backed it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now some of the states do use different things, but those project books are still being used.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have modernized them with the pictures. Material's still good. And then starting the dog camp and talking to state staff and letting me do it.
Mm-hmm.
And there again, old Conrad came in to be.
Yeah, Conrad was quite a politician.
Yeah.
He and I were very close friends. We used to eat lunch together as often as he was in town.
And he decided to let me go ahead and try it.
Yeah.
That if it didn't work, so be it. I probably wouldn't say anything anymore. But it 1978, I believe it was, we had our first one.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had one each year since. Mm-hmm. And we move it around the state through it in different camps so that our state is shaped so funny that sometimes people in western Kentucky, it's hard for them to get over to something the eastern part of the state.
It's 500 miles almost.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Do you remember some of the fun things that happened or unusual things that happened in these years?
Well, one year, funny and drastic at the same time, we had a little boy, a little black boy who had, back then, it was very popular for them to take their hair and braid it and put these beads on the end of it.
Oh, yes.
And he had crawled under the bed. To hide, you know, one of those pranks.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, when they found him, he, of course, hollered for help. That's how they found him. A bead had got caught in the springs of the bed.
Oh, my goodness.
And they worked and worked and couldn't get loose. Finally, they came and got me. And we had to use scissors, finally, to cut that little boy's hair. Fortunately, it didn't do that much damage.
So Samson didn't lose his strength.
Well, it's kind of hard unless you say something. I remember them being afraid of the water on the little Well, they called it a river, but it was much more than overgrown creek at the old Camp Bingham.
Oh, yes, sure. I've been on those grounds. Well, and, it no longer exists. But
They would dump themselves over on the rowboats and think they was going to sink, but when they stand up right there on the edge, the water just
raised
knees. Yeah. Getting youngsters over the fear of that, that wasn't funny, but it was sometimes... I don't know. I can't think of the word to use to describe it. It was sadness and happiness together because they would finally get over it after you would talk to them and, mm-hmm. and say you'd go with them and things like that mm-hmm. and make them put their life in service on.
Mm-hmm.
At camp at Lake Cumberland, I think the funniest thing there, I used to, after a while, all the last 10 or 15 years, I gave up running around with the tribe, as we called it, and stayed in the dining hall area and took care, managed that for them, and do any odds and ends that anybody wanted done.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the youngsters who came to camp who didn't know me, who weren't from the southwestern part of Jefferson County, mm-hmm. thought I owned the camp.
Oh, yeah.
Now that, I always got a kick out of that.
Well, you've always been an in-charge person. So.
I'd ask them something or ask them, they'd ask me something. They would always be so shocked to find out I was from Jefferson County and that I didn't own the camp. But I've had wild experience selling candy bars to help raise our funds for Jefferson County's share of building that camp.
Oh, yes. Yes.
We did things that you can't do today. We would go out and take some girls out to the airport. And we'd know when the planes were coming in, bringing the servicemen from Fort Knox. And they sell candy. And we'd made pretty good money.
I guess you did.
Sold quite a few boxes of candy there in the airport.
And what they did here just in the last couple of weeks, was it parking at the PGA tournament or something? Like
yes. We had adults and club members doing that. And they earned over $5,000.
That's pretty good for parking cars.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Of course, the hours are pretty long
right.
out there, too.
Yeah.
You didn't get involved in that one, though, did
no,
you?
No, I would have liked to, but right. they didn't have a job where I could stay in one place.
Sure. And looking back over these things, what is your impression of the 4-H program today as opposed to when you first started? Be candid about it.
The basics are still the same. Our goals are still the same.
Mm-hmm.
The way and the things and tools that they use to try to obtain those goals are different.
Mm-hmm.
There are still a few things that are the same. I do get real put out sometimes when I find a lot of agents and people want to reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can still, I mean, you do not have to do a clothing project, but the means of doing it and the steps that you go through of the youngsters and adult forming a group, working towards some kind of goal in the interest that they have.
Mm-hmm.
You would... wouldn't necessarily, the young girls wouldn't necessarily, our boys, we have had boys be in the clothing project, they wouldn't necessarily go in clothing, but go into have your computer club or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Principles are still the same.
Yes, they are.
Even if you try it, and I think some agents think, and here again, this becomes, I think, I guess it's sort of a tug of war, and a lot of the agents, if they would only realize that the volunteer leaders enjoy doing what they do or they wouldn't have been there in the first place. And the more volunteer leaders they have, the more time they would have to go out and to recruit the resources that we need
mm-hmm.
to keep the program going.
Mm-hmm.
And by resources, I mean money.
Well, you know, I think an agent, the problem I think some agents would have is that they are reluctant to ask somebody to do this because they know it's going to take a lot of their time to do this.
Yeah.
A lot of the volunteers.
Yeah, but
time.
You should not assume
that's
if
right.
that person has time or not.
Good
that
point.
Person is the one to tell you whether they can do it or not.
Good point.
That's what I say. If you don't ask, and if you start asking, hey, Joe, I know you're busy, but would you do this for me? Mm-hmm. I've already let you off the hook for saying I know you're busy. Now, right?
That's right.
Yeah, I opened the door a little bit for you to say no. If I come to you and say, hey, Joe, I know you are good at taking pictures, mm-hmm. and I need somebody to take pictures, you're more apt to say yes to me.
You're talking just like Granville King did.
Well, maybe. Granville King and I spent a lot of good times together.
Yes.
Now, also, we had a lot of bad times.
Well.
And I find myself maybe not talking about that as much as I used to. But when Granville first came into Jefferson County, his mission, along with the others, was to combine the two programs, the inner city, where there were a lot of black youngsters, mm-hmm. in with the regular program. And, of course, I had no problem with that. I always felt like it was a shame that they hadn't done it.
Exactly.
And my argument was that those people paid county taxes, and they paid state taxes, and they were due it as much as anybody else. And we had leaders recognition. When Granville came in, a couple of months after he came in, we had a leaders recognition banquet. And it was a banquet for approximately 200 volunteers from Jefferson County, and it was attending. And no one was set at the table with me and Granville. I saw him sitting there at the table, and I thought, uh-oh, he's not going to have very many, and I'm going to fill that table up, so I'll go sit there. Well, nobody sat with me and Granville. We went through that whole banquet by ourselves. The president at that time, when she turned the gavel over to him to give to the new president of the combined group, there was tied a great big green and white ribbons, and inside those green and white ribbons was black carnations, four black carnations.
Oh, my.
And to me, you know, that was horrible.
Yes.
So Granville did take quite a bit of abuse.
Yes.
For this, he even came to, he was wanting to get $10 from the council to buy postage to send out some letters. And the council would not vote to give him the $10 for that. So later on, I made a request for $10 in postage for something else, and I gave the $10 to Granville. And a lot of things like that he ran into. And I was always in hot water. with the rest of the council. This started out really back in 74 and 75.
Right.
And when we first had our busting. And I guess it was probably around 82 or something, somewhere along there, before the people started sort of mellowing out a little bit, mm-hmm. and not showing the open hostility.
Yes.
And we finally sort of got the council off the road.
Mm-hmm. It's been a tough way to go, but it's been successful.
Right, yeah.
Obviously, you're kind of prejudiced here because you feel like 4-H does some good for the kids.
Right. No, it does.
I've never known of a 4-H youngster to get in any kind of trouble, serious trouble, crime-wise. There may be some mischief now and then.
Yes.
But not anything serious.
Oh. If they stayed with the program, if they stayed at least 3 years, mm-hmm. they've already gotten the citizenship attitude towards good citizenship and responsibility and start working on independence and taking care of themselves.
I talked with a retired agent the other day in Union County, Stanley Dietring.
I know him.
And I said, Stanley, how long... We have an internship now that lasts for 3 months in the summertime for agents, trainees, supposedly they might go into extension. How long does it take for a 4-H agent to become a full-fledged agent? And without hesitation, he said 10 years.
Well, he's probably right, because in that time, he's done it all. It would take him to get all the different programs and things like that. And, of course, I think being a good 4-H agent, you have to be a person who really enjoys people, not only the youngsters but the adults. And I really see 4-H with two programs. There is a program for the adults and there's a program for the youngsters. We enjoy working with the youngsters, and you have certain activities that you do with them, But when we have training for the leaders, and when we go out of state for training for the leaders and things like that, you form friendships that you have for life.
You sure do.
And you gain experience. And I've always said, being a 4-H club leader, I have done things, I have gone places that I never would have, and there's no university in this world can teach me some of the things I have learned by being a 4-H leader, because some youngster asked me a question, and I started to try to find the answer. And there was some learning process for me along the way so that I could teach the youngster that.
It's been a real learning experience for you then all these years.
Yeah,
as well.
And each year you learn something. There's always something new, different coming along.
Did you, over the years, you have been recognized for some of the things you've done for 4-H, haven't you? What? Give me some idea about awards you've received.
Oh, no.
Come on, what's your modesty now?
Well, I really don't remember. I guess the ones that they were recent. I was recognized from the alumni.
The Ag alumni?
I got last year. And what, oh gosh, I've forgotten the name of the fraternity.
It was Gamma Sigma Delta.
Yeah.
That's it. And you were given an award of, let's see, what did they call that now?
Extension.
Service to Extension.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Walter Waller presented that, I think. That was at our annual banquet. When that was in
95.
What am I thinking? Boy, I got to watch myself here. Yeah.
Yeah, this is 96. It was last year.
Yeah, it was last year.
It had to be 95.
Right, it was 1995. Yeah.
Those two, because that was a nomination, and it was done, and I didn't know it was going to be done. And then I get the invitation, and I guess those mean a whole lot, because when I did receive the award, I was among people who worked across the state, who knew what volunteer 4-H leaders were.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess those two I enjoyed the most.
Did you ever find out who wrote the award?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Finally found it out.
Rarely has anything she's written like that ever failed.
Yeah. Because she knows her people.
She knows her people. Yeah. And she appreciates her people.
Yeah. She understands people.
So, any words of encouragement that you could give a new extension agent coming on the job?
I would say learn how to listen. Don't
Good
just
point.
Hear. Just learn how to listen.
Good point.
And no matter how upset a parent is, let them get it out of their system. And then try to answer their questions. And don't assume they aren't going to help you. If you don't ask for help, you're not going to get it. And you got to constantly be recruiting. When you meet a new person any place, just ask them, were you ever a 4-H member? And you'll be surprised who says yes. And if you don't ask them, they're not going to tell you.
The president of the university was a 4-H member.
Right, right.
Bill Sprague was a 4-H member. There's lots of people.
Neil Armstrong was. Alan Shepard, the first fellow. He was a 4-H from New Hampshire.
I knew you'd have to break that in with aeronautics.
but back to it, Linda.
It's a fun job, but it can be a trying job.
Yes.
But the rewards are in seeing these kids mature into mature individuals and in turn become leaders.
Yeah, and see what they come back. And also working with the adults. I think there are some agents over the years that I have worked with. I still hear from them. I still get cards when they have moved out of the state or sometimes moved out of extension or state extension someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
I think the leader, you can work and do your work and maybe not perform a good relationship with their agent or anything. But I think it's more fun for both if you can do that.
Well, this
you said something long ago.
Go ahead.
I can't remember now what it was. I said, he might want to know about that.
Okay.
I can't think of it now.
It comes to us.
It had to do, I can't remember if it had something to do with Granville. And by the way, his wife is lovely.
Yes.
Yeah. and Grandma likes biscuits.
You know, they were saying something today after breakfast. Grandma was talking about going out and running each morning before breakfast, and somebody jived in and says, "Well, and then you come back and bake biscuits, don't you?"
Oh, I know one of the things I wanted to mention, and you had mentioned Margie Brookshire, because she lives in Breckenridge County now, but that's not her home county.
No.
Grace in the Heart, I can't remember which it was. But my mother was one of the first 4-H leaders in Breckenridge County.
Sure
she
enough.
Was a school teacher, and she went to what they called the junior week then at UK. In 1924, because I have those pictures that she had then. But see, I never knew that my mother had even been involved with 4-H because they didn't have it in the city of Louisville. Now, having gone to the state fair when the state fairgrounds were down there, where now where Shawnee Expressway is and Wayne Supply is in Jefferson County, they had a 4-H exhibit there. And she mentioned 4-H and what the 4-H stood for. And part of that stuck in my mind. But she never said that she was a leader. And I didn't find that out until after I had been a 4-H leader for almost a year.
My goodness.
So I started saying something about it. She says, "Well, I know what you're talking about. I know that." Then she goes and gets her old photo album out and shows me this picture of her 4-H youngsters in 1924. And they slept on straw ticks on the university. They didn't have the dorm, mm-hmm. the dorms for them at that mm-hmm. time, evidently.
Yes.
So, and I keep, every once in a while, that crosses my mind.
So here we have three generations right here in this one family.
Yeah.
Your mom, you, and your daughter.
Yes, uh-huh.
And your daughter's still an active 4-H leader now.
Yes, uh-huh. She works with the Dog Project. And, of course, her grandson, is 22 now, but he came up through the 4-H ranks. And then her 14-year-old granddaughter is quite active. She's starting some of the team leadership things now.
So we have four generations.
No, they're brothers and sisters.
Oh, okay.
There's 7 years between them.
Okay, all right.
Almost a generation.
Seems that way sometimes. Well, Clovervale has improved over the years since we moved from the East Wing.
Yeah, when they used to just have those, when we first started out over there, they just had sore pegboard. And with the fire on, with the stuff sitting up on the pegboards, went down this aisle here and,
Well, we zigzagged them so people would have to kind of walk through them. If you had them in a straight line, they'd just zoom through like zombies.
And then they started out putting up one of these little, what we call storefront, making mm-hmm. them attractive.
Mm-hmm.
We had one or two the first year, and each year we kept adding on it. And then when they moved us over here, it's still about the same, only a little more compact.
For years and years, the only tools I had to build exhibits for the state fair was a quarter-inch drill, a handsaw, and a hammer and a whole bunch of clamps, and that was it.
Yeah. And now you have a truck full.
How about six trucks for
them?
I don't do it anymore. I'm glad I don't. I did it for 25 years.
That was enough.
$500 was the budget for the entire state fair. We will spend that much on just a piece of a display now.
Right, yeah.
But the quality is so much better now.
And there's more things available to you to use, that we didn't have.
Well, having this AstroTurf on the floor is nice on the feet if you want.
Right. The concrete's bad enough.
It's bad enough.
And this does help it a little bit.
And air conditioning, that's a wonderful improvement, too. We had window cranks that didn't work.
Yeah.
You couldn't, either you got them open or you couldn't open them.
Yeah.
So.
I remember being over in the East Wing. Oh, it was always, and it was hot.
Yes.
And, of course, what got the air conditioning in that when it did was the tornado in 74. Took the roof off of the fairground, and once they put it back, they just air conditioned it.
They sure did. So there was a blessing there, wasn't
there? Right. So there's always a blessing in everything.
Addie Faraday, you have any last comments to make about being a 4-H leader?
Oh, I don't know. Over the years, I have recruited people. I tell them, if they don't want to work directly with the youngsters, but they want to do something for the community. There are jobs that volunteers can do that you don't work directly with the youngster. You help put on events and things like that. You meet a lot of friends, and it is fun. And I have my philosophy is that I feel like as Americans, we have to constantly keep giving back to our community and supporting our community. And the way you do that, for me, the way you do that is working with youngsters and trying to get them to get started on the right track. We get them started, they'll do it.
The greatest resource we have are our youngsters.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we've got to get them on the right track.
Well, we couldn't do it without people like you.
Yeah.
That's for doggone sure. Thanks so much. Really appreciate what you do.
Okay.
This has been great.
Okay.
Really worked out great.